29 thoughts by an almost 30-year-old. So I officially turned 30 in 5 hours and 48 minutes. So with that in mind, I hope you're ready for the next 5 hours and 48 minutes. This sermon is going to be, we're going all the way through. Didn't you guys get the memo? Today the service is going from 5:30 to midnight so that you can all celebrate the tick over. It's 5 3/4 because it's 6:15 at the moment. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and look at your word and just look at just a whole collection of thoughts. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' mighty name that from this collection of assorted thoughts, that it would be like a tapper's, that people would be able to grab and take what they need from your word here tonight, God, that they would taste and see that you were good and they would take it in. I thank you that the nutrients of food is taken by ingestion. And I thank you so much the nutrients of your word is taken when we actually receive it to heart and believe the promise and actually see it fulfilled and outworked through our life. So we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Yes. Amen. Amen. So I thought the last about 4 times I've been up on stage, I've been reading out of Matthew chapter 10 and sharing out of the passage where Jesus rounds up his crew and then he sends them out to go and impact the world and especially the area of Jerusalem at the time. Now, today I thought I'd go on a little bit of a tangent just because, like I said, turn 30 very soon. So I thought, you know what, let's just change it up. Let's just reflect on just a whole bunch of thoughts and hopefully some of this will be beneficial bits and pieces that you can either apply to your personal life. You can put us a tweet on social media. Does anyone actually ever use Twitter? I don't actually use Twitter. Instagram and Facebook. Trump uses Twitter. If you know Donald, you can send him a message and say, hey, this is a good thing you can tweet. But here is 29 reflections, and who knows, maybe by the end of it, we might even get to 30. Number one, and if you're taking notes, you can try to keep up. Good luck. Good luck. Number one, God. He needs to take first place. First point, first place. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, ask them, don't tell them, ask them, is Jesus first place in your life? If they haven't responded to you, that's probably slightly rude. I'd encourage you to respond when someone's talking to you. A good habit is to reply. But Jesus needs to take first place in our life. That is the first point and the most important point. In every single area of life, in every decision, of every minute, of every day, in the way that we go about the way we work, to the way that we do our relationships, Jesus needs to take first place. Somebody say amen. Point number two, it takes two to tango. If someone tries to tango with you, if you can dance, you should do it because it looks cool seeing people tango. It's impressive. But if I'm, in, you know the saying though, when people get up to mischief, it takes two to tango. And I want to encourage you, if temptation is sort of dancing with you a little bit, get out of there. The book of Proverbs just says run. You know, it doesn't say battle, it says run. So it takes two to tango. And if you notice that you're actually in a place where temptation might be getting the better of you, get out of there. Run, Forrest, run. Walk away. It takes a stronger man to walk away. So walk away. Point number three. Actually, yeah, feel free to clap and give God glory and praise throughout this message. You'll find, because I am still a youth pastor, that you will get a better sermon if you encourage me. Point number three is that our God is revealed in three ways. One God expressed in three ways: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me encourage you, get to know all three of them. They're amazing. The Father loves you so much. He just wants to pour out affirmation on you. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. And he wants you to actually experience the fullness of what he achieved through his death and resurrection on the cross. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and teach you everything. Not just some things, everything. That's what it says in John 14. And let me encourage you, get to know all three of them. They are an incredible group to get to know. Point number four, what are you for? You might see I've just gone one, first, Two tangents. I thought this would just be amusing. I like punning. If you've known me for a little while in life, I'm not as good as Leone with the puns, but I like to think I'd maybe second or third place after Jen Grubb. But what are you for? Jesus was for the kingdom, seeing the kingdom come and will be done. I want to encourage you, Christians shouldn't be identified for what we're against. We should be identified for what we're for. It's true. True. Known for the way that we love people. The way that we are unashamed of the gospel. The way that we speak life and we choose to actually go the extra mile to help people. What are you for? Because if you're for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I don't know who said that, but it's a quote that's been around for a while. But if you're for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Point number five. Five was a boy band that never should have existed. Point number six. If you don't know the band Five, seriously, there's probably better things to do with your time than going on Google and searching for them. But if you are really, really interested in finding out who the boy band Five is, do you know Jack Mullen? Way before your time. You can hang out with Tennille later and she will teach you a few songs. But Five was a boy band. Six, don't stop on six. Thank you, Pastor Stephen Furtick. This was a sermon I listened to a bunch of years ago, but brilliant, brilliant message. Joshua and the army walking around the walls of Jericho six times, and the walls haven't fallen yet. And I want to encourage you, six represents in the Bible, it represents in Bible numerology, the number six is significant because in the Bible, it means the number of man, the number of imperfection in man's work. It's human's number. So they'd walked around it. Joshua and the army had walked around the city six times, but they didn't stop on six. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the midst of something where you haven't seen the promise fulfilled yet, God's promise to you, promise for healing, promise for breakthrough, promise for salvation of a friend or a family member, don't stop on six. Just keep going because our God is faithful. Our God is the God whose promises are yes and amen. Don't stop on six. That brings me to number seven. Number seven. Seven, the number of spiritual perfection. So don't stop on six. Go to number seven. Keep going to Jesus. Nothing is impossible for him. Luke 1:37. For nothing will be impossible for God. I want to encourage you. Keep turning to God in the midst of every single season of life. Where there seems like impossibilities on your end, that is the best soil for our faith to experience the miraculous. Nothing is impossible for God. Point number seven. Point number eight. Are you getting stuff out of this so far? Point number eight. Remember to eat. Eight. Get it? Yeah. All right. Sorry. All right. Seriously, remember to eat, both physically and spiritually. Seriously, you'll get hangry if you don't eat well. Don't waste time eating, young people. As much as that what was that McRib thing that we had the other day? I was hanging out with Jack Mullen on Friday night at McDonald's, and I shared it this morning. I got to encourage a lady behind the counter who was saying she hated Christmas, and I was just like, Jesus loves you, and she was like, oh, and just ran off. I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, but we got a McRib and it tasted good, but seriously, the nutrient value in it wasn't that good. Make sure you actually remember to eat and don't just eat. Like tonight we've got cake and probably on some occasions, cake's not too bad, but make sure your diet's actually healthy, spiritually, physically. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to remember to eat. You shouldn't binge your Christianity on a Sunday and starve yourself through the week. Set yourself, if you need to eat three or five times a day physically, make sure you do the same spiritually. Take a moment, Bible app it, whatever. Whatever works for you, but make sure the word is getting into you. Point number nine. Nine is German for no. So, know what to say no to. Everyone say nine.
Nine.
Everyone say nine.
Nine.
There we go. Know what to say no to. Don't say yes to dumb things. Spot on, Davo. Say no to drugs. Everyone say it with me. Hugs, not drugs. Or if you don't like human contact, probably don't do the hug part either. Just don't do drugs. drugs are bad. May your no be no and your yes be yes. May your nine be nine. Or your something, yah be yah. But seriously, don't do dumb things. Know when to say no. And be smart enough to recognize, like in that second point, run from it if you need to. That's not a cowardly thing. That's called a wise thing. 10, get moving. Turn to the person next to you and tell them it's got to keep on moving. Ain't nobody going to break my stride. It's hard to move a stationary object. Whether that's in your study, in your finances, in exercise or faith, let me encourage you, get moving. Don't say stationary. We're not called to a stagnant Christianity. We're called to go into all the world and make disciples, preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, seeing eyes open, seeing the broken healed, to see the hurting made whole, to see people that are carrying addiction set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Get moving. It's easier to steer something that's on the move. You ever notice that? When the car is stationary, it's hard for it to steer. But when it's rolling, it's easier to actually move it. And I honestly believe it's the same with our lives. If we're moving, if we're taking steps of faith, it's easier to actually hear the Holy Spirit saying, hey, 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 don't go that way, go this way. He wants us to be a people on the move. Point number 11. Put God first again. He needs to take first place every time, every decision, every day. Give him first place again. Sometimes when we're in the middle of a message or the middle of our day or the middle of life, sometimes we actually all of a sudden defunct back into just operating by our own ability. And that's why it's important in the middle of my message to actually remind you again, put God first again. Number 11, it's like number one again, two ones. That's why I had to put in there twice. Make sure you put God first again. Actually, I probably shouldn't put my fingers up like that. That's rude to French people. 12, baskets left over. You know, God is not a stingy God when we trust him with our food, with our finances, with every aspect of our life. He is a God of abundance. He can take the meager and make it miraculous. 12 baskets left over. Little boy brings his little loaves and fishes, puts them in the hands of Jesus. He wasn't 100% sure what was going to go down. But that act of faith, taking the small thing that he had, made it go from meager to miraculous. And I want to encourage you, when we take whatever the small thing is in our life, whether it's our talents, whether it's our finances, whether it's the words that we speak over the people around us, God can actually take it from something meager and mundane and make it miraculous. He can take it from something that's just natural and make it supernatural. That is the God that we worship and the God we serve. He's not a stingy God. He loves having baskets left over. Now, 13, growing up, this is a random point just about myself more than anything. My lucky number, not that I believe in luck anymore, I just believe I'm blessed. But when I was growing up, my lucky number was number 13. Because I figured if 13 was my lucky number, I didn't have an unlucky number. Winning. But like I said, now I've actually had a revelation that I don't know, sorry to burst the bubble, but I don't believe in luck. I believe that we're either blessed or we're not in the blessing of God. So, I don't know. I don't really have a lucky number anymore. I just like number 13. Anyway, 14, be filled, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, for it leads to debauchery. I love that word. Such a good word. Debauchery is not good, but the word sounds cool. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, that passage of scripture, that word that is used in the text actually means to be filled and continually filled. You are a vessel for the Holy Spirit to be poured into. And I want to encourage you, get before God every day. Get before God in worship on a Sunday. Get before God in connect groups, life groups, and other spaces where you're just mingling with people, and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I tell you, He's faithful to you, His promise. He draws near to anyone that draws near to Him. Be filled and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell you what, that's the best way to live the Christian life. The best. Don't run dry. That ain't fun. Nobody wants to run dry and have burnout. Just keep on allowing the Holy Ghost to fill you, to strengthen you with peace and life in Jesus' name. Now, 15. Point number 15. Have you guys managed to keep up with all 15 points? Well done. Oh, hello. Hello. It's a little side note. Do you know 15 minutes of your time, 15 minutes of your time, if you are focused and present, can have an incredible impact on any person you meet? 15 minutes of your time, if you are focused and present, can have an incredible impact on anyone that you come across. Just stop and think, who during this week can I just be 100% present for? Maybe it's someone that serves you coffee regularly. Maybe it's one of your colleagues at work. Maybe it's your 7-year-old son that just drives you up the wall at times. Instead of having your brain switched on, what's the next task? What's the next thing? I've got to do this, I've got to do that. I've got to check my Instagram account to see how many likes I've got. I've got to triple check to see if anyone's made any more comments on my posts. Instead of actually focusing on that, 15 minutes of focused, being present in the moment can leave an incredible impact on people. Point number 16. So 15 minutes can leave an incredible impact. 16 seconds of stupidity can be hard to repair. Be smart. You know, I heard it once said before that, you know, obviously we live in a day and age where we've got social media where you can comment and post and do stuff like that. And then before that, you know, obviously people still use emails. Most of us use emails here. But that was still sort of pretty quick. You could reply to it at any time. Before that, people used to have to write out stuff handwritten on paper. There's this material. Let's see if we have some here. This stuff. Yeah, I know, it's bizarre. It's like foreign. I don't know what it is. But you used to have to write on paper, and supposedly, obviously the post offices would close, so people would have to put it in the top drawer. A lot of the time they'd put it in the top drawer overnight. And then people would get back to it and go, wait a second, maybe I should change the tonality of my text or my handwriting. I'll get rid of that. Seriously, sometimes it might actually be better for us to take an extra day in responding to something. Because 16 seconds of stupidity can be hard to repair. Maybe even just ask the Holy Spirit, how should I respond to this? And then just take some time reflecting on it, reflecting in the Word. Point number 17. Topple temptations before they topple you. That was a sermon I preached a bunch of years ago, but I still think it's a very important thing to stop and reflect on. Sharing your challenges just actually helps create accountability. It doesn't show weakness. It's a sign of wisdom, not weakness. If you have temptations that you're struggling with, the best thing you can do is not battle alone. Because we're not called to fight like Chuck Norris, Lone Rangers, Texas Ranger. We're called for community, to fight alongside one another. So let me encourage you, one of the best things you can do when trying to topple temptations, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's insecurity, whether it's pornography, whether it's greed, whether it's insert vice here, instead of trying to fight that battle alone, keep going to God for forgiveness. That's biblical. But keep going to your brothers and sisters in Christ to actually help strengthen you and support through it. It says, confess your sins to one another in the book of James and you will be healed. Sometimes that healing actually comes through the body of Christ, through walking out the journey with one another. So topple temptations before they topple you. The world doesn't need another Christian. I was tempted to say leader here, but just Christians in general, because every Christian is an ambassador of Jesus Christ, who falls over publicly because they didn't deal with things privately. Seriously, we don't need more Christians doing that. It breaks my heart every time because I know how fallible my own heart is. But then that makes it all the more important to know how important it is to actually be connected to the body. We all need to be discipled. If you don't think you need to, then you are not reading biblical script correctly, because go make disciples of all nations doesn't then bypass you and mean not be a disciple. It's a process. Be discipled. 18. At the age of 18, I gave my life away to receive the life that Jesus offered. The British evangelist Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You cannot keep your own life. Those who try to gain their own life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. That's the words of Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that day where I was here in a night service about 12 years ago. I honestly can't remember a word Pastor Matt Sharples preached, but during worship, I knew in my heart that that was my moment to get right with God. And I want to encourage you, friends, family, here today. If you know in your heart that you don't know God, you know about Him, but you don't know Him, then tonight, make the decision. I will give you an opportunity at the end of the service to say yes to Jesus. It's the most wild adventure you can ever go on. I highly, highly, highly encourage you, jump on board, come along. I gave my life away to Jesus at 18. You can't keep your own life. You can only find it through giving it away. 19, donuts with fillings are better than donuts that are empty. Can I hear an amen? It's true. Donuts with fillings are better than donuts that are empty. Christianity filled is better than Christianity empty. What's in you will flow out of you. So be filled with the Word of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when life bites you, guess what? Good stuff's going to come out. Think about it. All right, we're on the home straight now. We're up to point number 20. Who's found some of these points beneficial? Fantastic. Come on, somebody. 20 is a blessing to someone who is doing it tough. If you part with a $20 note with someone that's going through it really tough, 20 bucks can actually be really beneficial. If you're blessed, like it probably doesn't seem like much, but to someone that's on the bones of their tushy, 20 bucks can make a massive impact. Especially if you then partner that with 15 minutes of intentional focus. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I don't have much, but seriously, go buy yourself some dinner. You know, let me encourage you. We're not called to cling to our material things. We're called to bring the kingdom into the world. And sometimes He can transform mundane earthly things into miraculous vessels of hope and transformation just by giving it an offering. $20 can mean a lot to someone. 21 will win most games of blackjack, but playing scumbags and warlords is better. If you want to know what that game is, ask Jessica Dees later and she can teach it to you. So 21 will win most games of blackjack, but playing scumbags and warlords is better. 22. At 22, you may think you know it all, but you probably don't. Actually, you don't. So listen to wisdom. Mentors to listen to wisdom. Sorry, let me encourage you. Get mentors and listen to wisdom and advice from people that you admire and trust. And I said that for 22, but the reality is, even if you're 102, you do not know it all. Spot on, Davo. Spot on. So even at 102, we need to be listening to advice, listening to mentors, allowing people to speak in, sow in to our lives. 22, listen to wisdom. 23, make sure you're doing the same for someone younger. Especially if you are 22, if you invest in a 15-year-old, they'll look up to you. They'll think you're an awesome person because you're called to not just be a disciple, you're called to make disciples. And at 23, you can have a ridiculous impression on someone that's 14, 15 if you genuinely care. Take 15 minutes, $20, and buy a pizza and just spend some time with them. I'm glad Jesus did that with 12 dysfunctional disciples. Seriously. I'm so glad that Jesus went, even though these guys are not perfect, I'm going to choose to invest in them. And then the impact of that investment impacted the entire world. Seriously, if we all carried that sort of heart and that mentality and went, well, I might not be able to gather 12 people around me for the next 3 years, but over the next 3 years, I could walk the journey with two or three people. Just imagine the impact and the legacy that you could see sown, not just in this state, but the nations through that sort of faith and through that sort of discipleship. 23, make sure you're doing the same for someone else, for a young person. 24, disciple happens through relationship. Discipleship happens through relationship. You cannot disciple people at a distance. You've actually got to get into one another's world. This is true as well. Well, you probably can, but it's not going to go very far. But discipleship happens through relationship. Jesus invited people right into his world to walk out the journey with him. He got to know them. He spent time with them. He picked up on what their bad habits were. Actually, I don't know if this is sacrilegious, but actually just when I was thinking about this, because obviously Jesus was fully man. That means they would have, you know, smelled him do a pop-off and silly things like that. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's sacrilegious to say that. But the fact is, he invited them in so close and personal that they would have picked up on some, I'm not going to say bad traits of Jesus, because Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. But I don't know. Surely he had flatulence at some stage, some bad fish. But he invited them in to experience all of it. You don't need to have your life 100% perfect to invite people in to walk the journey and to sow into them. 25 is a quarter of a century, and you still got a lot more runs on the board. You know, at 25, life seems like there's a lot more still ahead. So make sure you refill. If you're running on empty, make sure you're praying in the Spirit. If your Bible plan's not operating very well, change it. Do something different. If you're at quarter of a century, it can seem like there's a lot of life still ahead of you, that life seems long. So make sure you recharge. If you're starting to feel flat, make sure you plug in. See, iPhones need connection, and so do people. iPhones need connection, and Androids just throw them in the bin. But iPhones, they need to be connected to actually operate at their full capacity. And the same as people. You need to be planted in the house of the Lord. Seriously, you'll get the best out of you when you're planted in community and connection. So make sure you're connected when you're at a quarter of a century. 26, don't get comfortable, because life is also short. So rest for a bit. Make sure you rest. Seriously, that could be like 26.A. Make sure you actually set aside times to rest, but then go hard for Jesus. Don't get comfortable in your Christianity. We are not called for here. We are made for eternity, and we're made to bring others on that journey with us. 27, we're up to the final three. Might even invite our keyboard player, Jessica, to come back up. This is one that I've been saying a fair bit recently, but I love it. I reckon this is a great thing, like I said, if you're a Twitterer or something else, or even just if you want to put it on your toilet door or something. If God's word says it, then you can see it. if God's word, sorry, I've misquoted myself. If God's word says it, then you can see it in your world. Seriously, if God's word says it, then you can see it in your world. If he says that we can see healing, then we can see it in our world. If he says that we can see the miraculous take place, then we can see it in our world. If he says that the sun can stand still, then we can actually see that in our world. Crazy. Crazy. By faith, Elijah made the sun stand still. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. Yes and amen. If God's word says it, then you can see it in your world. And I added this one in here because this morning it made me remember. The first scripture that I learnt off by heart was the one that Stephen Fogarty was sharing this morning. I think this is a really good practice, just finding scriptures and committing them to heart and memory, just reading through it until all of a sudden it's just like locked in there. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition and supplication, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Prayer is better than worry. Point 28, prayer is better than worry. Every day of the week, every minute of the day, every second of the minute, prayer is better than worry. And point number 29 of my sermon, 29 points by a guy that's almost 30, is God is with you. In Matthew 28, 20, he said, I will be with you always. Even in those moments where you feel alone, God is with you always. Even in those moments where people have let you down, God is with you always. Even in those moments where you don't see a way out, God is with you always. Even when you want to give up on life, God is with you always. Even when you don't know which step to take next, God is with you always. I just want to invite everyone just to close their eyes, bow their heads. I want to give you an opportunity right now to get right with Jesus. The Bible says that anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth Jesus Christ is Lord will be saved. The Bible says also, if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. I'd love to lead you in a prayer. It's not the words per se that make you right with God. It's the heart that it's prayed with. Believing in your heart. Confessing with your mouth. And if you know that you are not right with God, I want to encourage you, take a bold step today and just raise up your hand. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. Yep, I see that hand. Fantastic. Is there anyone else that needs to make this decision here today to pray a prayer to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. Is there anyone else that needs to make this decision here today? Yeah, there's a hand right at the back up there. Fantastic, fantastic. Is there anyone else that needs to make that decision here today? Five more seconds. We give this opportunity every single week as the most important decision anyone could ever make. Right, I've got a couple of people that have given me a wave, so we're all going to pray this prayer together as family, as a couple of people are making a important decision and praying this prayer sincerely for themselves. So, dear Jesus, thank you so much that you died for my sin, died for my shame, and died for all my stuff ups. Because you died for me, I live for you. Be my Savior, be my friend, and be the Lord of my life. Let me encourage you, just put your hand on your heart for a second right now. Holy Spirit, fill me. I need you. Fill me lead me, guide me from this day forward. From this day forward, I live for Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, if you gave me a wave, seriously, I'm so encouraged with the decision that you made. I'm so encouraged with the decision that you made. God loves you. And we're family here. We like to do the journey with people. So one of our team would love to sit with you, talk with you, and encourage you on this step that you've made in the journey here today.